From WBHM News, I'm Andrew Yeager. The Gulf South is getting hundreds of millions of dollars from settlements with some of the nation's largest opioid manufacturers and distributors to help mitigate damage caused by the opioid crisis. Some are calling for more of the funds to be used for harm reduction. That's an approach to addiction that emphasizes limiting the negative consequences associated with drug use, but the concept often faces resistance, especially in the southern states, where there's been pushback to proposals like needle exchanges or free overdose reversal medications. The Gulf States Newsroom's Drew Hawkins recently sat down with Mia Solovitz, author of Undoing Drugs, The Untold Story of Harm Reduction and the Future of Addiction. They discuss the concept of shifting drug policy away from arrest and incarceration for many users.
Harm reduction is drug policy that focuses on stopping people from getting hurt rather than stopping them from getting high. It's a very simple idea, but it has enormous implications. And in the United States, it's mostly associated with clean needle programs to prevent the spread of HIV. It originated in Liverpool in the UK when they were faced with a potential HIV epidemic among IV drug users. And in fact, Liverpool did not have the kind of HIV epidemic in drug users or in its general population that the United States did or that Edinburgh did because of harm reduction.
You know, one of the things I found really interesting about your book was that you explore the research around drug use and addiction, as well as your own personal journey with drug use. Can you talk about the effectiveness of harm reduction, both in, you know, academic literature, as well as your own personal experience?
The literature is basically unequivocal on harm reduction. Every expert organization that ever evaluated the research on clean needle programs found that they do not increase the risk that teenagers will use drugs, they do not increase crime, and they do reduce HIV spread. It's been studied a lot because it was so controversial. When you look at even more controversial things, like the countries where they prescribe heroin to people who are addicted, again, you see improvements in health, decreases in crime, and you see no reduction in people accessing more traditional forms of treatment. In my own life, I was injecting drugs in New York City in the 1980s. HIV was incredibly prevalent. About half of all people who injected drugs at that time were already infected. And I happened to be at a friend's house. Another friend was there, and she was actually visiting from San Francisco to try to get my friend into rehab. What happened is, she saw that we were about to use, because, you know, everybody needs to have their last binge before rehab. And she was like, you know, you're at risk if you share needles. And I was like, what? I thought that only affected gay men. And like, I was a pretty informed person. I didn't know. And so she taught me to use bleach to clean my needles. And I then avoided becoming infected with HIV. And I was at serious risk because it turned out that the friend that I was about to share with potentially was already positive. And at that time, it was pretty much 100% fatal.
With the opioid settlements, there's going to be millions of dollars coming to states that's meant to be used for remediation, for assistance, for help with the opioid crisis. And in the Gulf South, it's really murky where a lot of that money is going. In Louisiana, for example, a big chunk of it is just going straight to sheriff's departments. And in places like Mississippi and Alabama, we just don't really know where a lot of it's going because they're not required to report it. Does that raise any concerns for you?
Yeah, that raises enormous concerns. I mean, in the United States, we've spent decades and decades and decades arresting people for having drug problems. And arresting people for possession of drugs does not work. The United States arrests more people for possession of drugs than any other country in the world. We arrest more people and incarcerate more people in general than any other country in the world. And we have the world's worst overdose problem. So if this is going to work, you would expect that it might have worked by now. You would expect that it would have prevented this problem, right? The reality is, arrest is punishment. and it is a negative consequence. And addiction is defined by continuing despite negative consequences. If you want to actually help people recover from addiction, you have to offer them better alternatives.
That's Mia Solovitz, author of Undoing Drugs, The Untold Story of Harm Reduction and the Future of Addiction, speaking with the Gulf States Newsroom's Drew Hawkins. She spoke about calls to shift American drug policies as states receive hundreds of millions of dollars to combat the opioid crisis.